football as your Texas Revolution are in action, taking on the San Angelo Bandits live from the Allen Event Center in Allen, Texas. Here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Texas Revolution Radio Network. And now it's time for the pregame show.
All right, good day, everybody. Welcome into the pregame show. It's me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, with your coverage of Champions Indoor Football in your Texas Revolution. As the Revolution right now are battling, they're in a big battle. And if you don't think so, all you got to do is take a look at the standings in Champions Indoor Football, as your Texas Revolution are sitting in seventh place, but yet only a half game out of first place. So that tells you something about the Texas Revolution. That tells you something about the CIF Champions Indoor Football as well. When you have seven teams battling for four playoff positions, I think it is really huge for the Texas Revolution and Champions Indoor Football itself. As the Revolution are in battle tonight with the San Angelo Bandits, this will be the fourth meeting this season. The Revolution right now have a 2-1 lead in that battle, but dropping the last game in San Angelo and taking the loss down there. However, they got the first victory in San Angelo in week number two, and then they came back a couple weeks later to the Allen Event Center, and the Texas Revolution pretty much wiped the floor with the San Angelo Bandits in that game. So, as the Texas Revolution are at home, almost unbeatable on the home turf here at the Allen Event Center, this is going to be a really interesting situation. And I think as you take a look at tonight's game, this is put up or shut up time. The Texas Revolution need to do exactly what they did to the San Angelo Bandits the last time these two teams met, and that is the Texas Revolution wiping the floor with them. Going into probably the most important game of the season for the Texas Revolution next week, as they are on the road to take on the Amarillo Venom. This is a football team that has not had success out on the road except one time this year, going up against the San Angelo Bandits in week number two of the CIF season. So the Revolution, they don't win another road game, I don't see them making the playoffs. So I think as far as these last three games are concerned, it's vital for the Revolution to run the table. And if they don't run the table, I think it's very vital that they still got to be able to get that victory against the Amarillo Venom next week on the road. So this is a big time for the Revolution. They've got to be able to pick it up and move on, because as you look at the standings, let's go over into the CIF standings as far as what's going on and what the Revolution have to deal with. The Wichita Force now have taken over first place in the league, as the Dodge City Law have fallen out of first place, and not only that, fallen out of the top four in reality after the loss last week. So right now it's the Wichita Force 6-3 out on the season, and then the Sioux City Bandits at 5-3 in second place, and the Amarillo Venom 5-3 as well in third. And then it's the Salina Bombers, a 6-4 team that they have played 10 games out on the season. Let's just hop back. Wichita's played 9 games this season, but the Amarillo Venom, as well as the Sioux City Bandits, have only played 8. So they actually, it's sitting where they're at, are sitting in kind of in a good position, especially over the Bombers, especially over Dodge City, are two teams that have played 10 games. As far as the Bandits and Amarillo are concerned, they're sitting with 2 more games up on the schedule. So I think that's an advantage going to the Sioux City Bandits as well as the Amarillo Venom. But as we go and we talk about the standings, the Bombers in the fourth position, the Dodge City Law have dropped to fifth place in the standing, and then the Dodge City Law, they're sitting at 6-4 as well. The Gladiators are 3-2 against CIF opponents. They have been guaranteed a spot in the playoffs if their percentage gives them that spot. Right now their percentage is 600, so the Texas Revolution are 556, so that's the reason why the Gladiators have slipped up in the standings over the Texas Revolution, even though the Revolution have the victory over the Gladiators. So that is what you're looking at. San Angelo is 1-7, the team that we're taking on here tonight, and then the Omaha Beef, they're 1-8 out on the season. So as the Texas Revolution, the best that they can finish right now is 8-4. That's if they win out these final three games. And then it's going to be the question, will it be enough to make the playoffs? As the Bombers have only two more games out on the season, so they can finish with eight wins if they win out. The Dodge City Law, they have could be 8-4 as well. Two teams that have the head-to-head on the Texas Revolution. So as far as the Revolution are concerned, they are going to become big fans of the opposite teams this week. And I'm talking about as far as what the teams are looking at. The Salina Bombers take on the Wichita Force. So the Revolution want to see the Force beat the Bombers. And that's just the way it works out because the Revolution have the head-to-head against the Wichita Force. So they want to see that big time as they're going. The Law, they are on the bye. So that's a team that the Revolution, they want to get up there, at least tie them right now and get to that 6-4 record, the same as the Dodge City Law. But then again, the Dodge City Law, they have the tiebreaker against the Texas Revolution. The Amarillo Venom, if they finish out the season strong, they're going to make the playoffs. If Sioux City finish out the season strong, they're going to make the playoffs. The Wichita Force, I think, are going to make the playoffs. I think they have to fall off the face. They got three more games. If they obviously go into a three-game losing streak, they obviously won't make the playoffs. But the Wichita Force, I think they've slated themselves into the playoffs with that big victory last week as far as the team was concerned. So as the Revolution are getting ready, they got to take care of their business. They cannot do worry about other teams. However, we're going to be covering those games. We're going to be keeping track of the scores of those other games that are going to be going on. All the games are here tonight on Saturday night. Salina Bombers taking on the Wichita Force. The Omaha Beef taking on the Sioux City Bandits. The Duke City Gladiators taking on the Amarillo Venom. And then, of course, your Texas Revolution at home taking on the San Angelo Bandits. So as the Texas Revolution get ready here on the Couch Potato Sports Show here on Blog Talk Radio. For those that are listening in the pregame show that has been put up a day early, when we come back, the radio voice of the Sioux City Bandits, it's Gary Ellenbolt. We're going to talk to a guy that covers the Sioux City Bandits. And folks, I had a great interview with a guy that does exactly what we do, which is cover the football team in Sioux City, and a Sioux City team, by the way, which is not all that different than the Texas Revolution when you look at it, because the Texas Revolution, one thing that they have a problem with is winning on the road. Same thing with the Sioux City Bandits. They have a tough time winning out on the road. So when we come back here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Texas Revolution Radio Network.
Stop in to the Boardroom Salon for Men this week and kick back and relax while you receive a great haircut and enjoy an ice-cold beer. Our professional team will make you look and feel your best, while the old-world ambiance will take you back to simpler times. Visit the Boardroom in Allen and click theboardroomsalon.com. Stop in, relax, look great. The Boardroom Salon, the ultimate relaxed grooming experience for men.
This is Sonny Clark, radio voice of your Texas Revolution, telling you to stop on by the Boardroom Salon for Men in Allen, located at Waters Creeks at Montgomery Farms in Allen, Texas. Or give them a call at 972-649-6945.
Golden Corral versus Seafood Sticker Shock. At most seafood restaurants, the real catch is the price. Not Golden Corral, Seafood Spectacular. Dinner's just $11.99. New crispy fish tacos, endless jumbo shrimp, non-stop teriyaki glazed salmon, plus bone-in catfish and hand-breaded calamari. Looks like Golden Corral wins again. Golden Corral, the best buffet in the USA.
The heat is on. New Nissans have been reallocated to the fastest-growing Nissan dealership in North Texas. That's us, Nissan of McKinney. But maybe you're asking, why Nissan of McKinney? It's because we have selection. Some might even say the biggest, with over 1,000 to choose from. Plus, we've got perks. Get 2 years free maintenance on any new Nissan, and discounts as high as $14,000. Get Rogues and Altimas for $18,995, or 0% for 60 months. Because if Nissan builds it, we discount it. NissanofMcKinney.com.
I had one customer said, If we know it's going to be difficult, we know it needs to be done fast, they're going to call executive press.
Every employee here is the face of our company. We're able to help our clients go from the design phase of their projects all the way through printing and mailing so that they're able to reach their target market. We work very hard on making sure that we get our clients' jobs out on time with good quality and at a competitive price.
We want our customers to feel like we are their print partner, and we are. Their job is just as important to us as it is to them.
This is Sonny Clark, radio voice of your Texas Revolution, telling you to stop on by Executive Press, located at 1400 Presidential Drive, Suite 110, located in Richardson, Texas. Or give them a call at 214-217-7000. That's 214-217-7000. And tell them Sonny sent you.
She's lollygagging and you're missing out on sweet deliciousness. Dare you pass her? What's the worst that could happen?
Did you just line jump me?
No.
He's a line jumper.
Yeah, you're a line jumper.
Joshua David.
Grandma?
Totally worth it.
Cece's Pizza Pasta Salad and Dessert Buffet for an unbelievably low price. Almost too good to be true.
And welcome back into the Couch Potato Sports Show and our coverage of the CIF Champions Indoor Football and your Texas Revolution here on the pregame show. I got online Gary Ellenbolt of the Sioux City Bandits. How you doing, Gary?
I am doing terrific. No such thing as a bad game day, as you know, Sonny. And very happy to be here and in amongst Revolution fans, too.
And thanks for taking the time here on our pregame show as well as our halftime show. We were talking about it. We get up online for folks that don't know and those that are listening. Get up on Facebook, put in Champions Indoor Football, Players Meet Fans, and you will come up with my group where we do a lot of talking about Champions Indoor Football. And we've been talking about this year. And coming down to the last 4 years of the season, Gary, I don't know if I've seen a season, whether it was the IFL with the Texas Revolution or some of the other leagues, come down to a more exciting finish coming into the last 4 weeks.
I had no idea, Sonny, that the CIF was going to be this exciting. I had never broadcast or seen indoor football until this year, and it is just a treat to see some of the teams in the CIF. But as we go into action tonight, Wichita the leader, 6-3, Sioux City, Amarillo, Salina, Dodge City, Duke City to an extent in the hunt, and then you've got the Revolution, might need some help, but 5-4, not a bad record at all. And it is just going to come down, and this is how it should be. You know, the
sure.
Parity in the league is incredible. As far as Sioux City goes, I mean, the Bandits, as Ned Yost says, we got the chip in the chair, and that's really all you can ask for. At 5-3, we've got Omaha tonight. Also, Wichita is left. Go down there next week, have Amarillo at home, and then wrap up at Dodge City. So really, the Bandits, as much as any team in the league, have an opportunity to control their own destiny these final 4 weeks.
And you're also going up against teams that are definitely, you know, right there for the final four. All of the teams that you're playing are set to try and prime to make the playoffs. So when they go through the rest of the season comparing to your games that you're playing and then they go play other teams, I mean, we are going to have a wild one. It's going to come down to week number 12 in the CIF before we know really who's going to be in the top four.
I love this stuff. I mean, the NFL can only dream of such parity. Yes. And I know they make a lot of moves toward parity as well. But when you look at the records of the teams, Duke City, you kind of have to put an asterisk by it because of the fact that they have played a couple of non-league teams getting into the CIF as late as they did. But it's just wonderful. And anyone who's a fan of the CIF, it just has to boost the fan interest knowing that your team, other than San Angelo and Omaha, really have a chance to get into playoff position if the right things happen.
Now, getting back to the Gladiators, this is a team that's going to get in if they're going to get in by a percentage and then the head-to-head with what they got to deal with. And this is a good football team. I've watched this football team in their first CIF game at the Allen Event Center in the red zone 4 out of 5 times. They just
the Revolution defense just said, no, well, you're not getting in, and that's what ended up happening. But other teams have found out how tough this football team is coming in. Now, when I looked at this team, I asked myself, how are they able to do this? This is a team that has put together and found chemistry very quick. And I guess I'm going to ask you, do you think those non-league games help them be able to find that continuity that they need to go into these games against the teams in the CIF?
I know the first game didn't, because their opponent quit at halftime.
Yes.
They were actually in the barn, so to speak, with Duke City. It was 27-13 at halftime, but lost some players in the first half and didn't think it was in their best interest to continue. I don't know anything about the Texas Stealth other than they're a team without a league. They'll start in their league next year. As far as the teams in the CIF, they've really held their own. And I know Mark Hayward has done an excellent job in putting that team together, getting fan interest, especially. You'd have to think fans in Albuquerque would have to feel a little bit burned by the New Mexico Stars pulling out so late in the, I don't want to say preseason, because it was before that, but they left the folks in New Mexico high and dry. Here comes Matt Hayward. I called him Mark, excuse me, earlier, but you know, Matt puts the team together. He's ready to go by the second week of the season, and anyone who is not with a vested interest in any team in the league, like you with Texas, me with Sioux City, you have to admire the job they've done. Now, as far as the playoff situation, I don't know if I'm a big fan of letting the team in by percentage points, but again, you go back to the fan interest, you go back to the thing that the Gladiators really did the league a favor.
Yes.
I mean, there are some teams who would have had a lot more buys than they would have had if Duke City had not gotten the franchise, gotten the act together, and gotten in at that point. So, you know, 3-2 doesn't look like a great record, but when you look at winning percentage, you know, they still have a shot. And ultimately, while I'm probably not a huge fan of the process with which it's been done, you have to like the fact that they're playing good competitive football right from the gate.
Yeah, and looking at your team as you're going in, hitting Omaha again, that's part of the schedule and things of that sort. You're outscoring teams 55-43, so you got a good offense. I look at Charles Todau. I've seen him in other leagues and other teams, and I've watched his career. How is everybody liking Charles Todau over there as far as the quarterback position for your Sioux City Bandits?
He could run for just about any civic position in Sioux City, Iowa, and win. Our owner, Bob Scott, is the mayor of Sioux City, so that might be a little disconcerting for him, but he is just such a fun, electric player. Sioux City had Salina in the Tyson Event Center a few weeks ago, and heads were down among the team, among the fans. People were a little worried about, you know, how the rest of the season was going to go. And we had signed a wide receiver out of Valdosta State in Georgia named Willie Downs. And the very first offensive play Sioux City had, Chuck sent Downs wide open, streaked down the field, hit him at the 5-yard line, and no one around him. I don't know where the Salina defensive backs were in this play, but Willie got past them. 3 yards later, he's in the end zone. And that basically set the tone for the entire game. And Chuck will do things, really, that no mortal should be expected to do.
Yeah.
He's got a great receiver core around him, of course, with Damon Mothershed. Jeremiah Oates could be back tonight against the Beef. That hasn't been determined just yet. He's got Frederick Bruno, and a lot of other people he can throw to who help him out a lot. But this is a guy who's not afraid to gamble. Jared DeGiorgio, the offensive coordinator, works with him a lot to get the plays ready, to take care of, you know, what kind of things that the defenses around the league are going to give him. But he's just a rocket, just an outstanding player, and been CIF Player of the Week 3 times, was Player of the Year in his league last year when he was at Bloomington. So we just have a gem in Chuck Dovell.
Yeah, 27 touchdowns on the season, 108.28 passer rating on the season. Crazy numbers that you get it, but when you got a guy like that, you can do a lot of things. And what I think the number, when I looked at the whole line, on Charles Goodell, only 6 interceptions on the season. I think that is the biggest number that stands out to me.
And I think, again, the receivers are helping him out because they're running great routes on that. One of the first passes, in fact, this was the first pass I saw him throw. It was Omaha in the first game of the season, 62-13 Bandits win. And Chuck was actually trying to throw the football away, trying to get it into the stands, force the incompletion. Damon Mothersett was covered by at least 3 Beef players. He jumped as high as I've seen a man jump, and he was able to come up with the completion and the first down on that play. And that's how we kind of knew they had something special. We've got Jeremiah Oates again, who runs some great routes, injured with a high ankle sprain. And anyone who knows about high ankle sprains, yep, will know that it takes an awfully long time to recover from those. But he's got Bruno, a couple of guys out of the backfield he'll throw to on occasion. Just a great supporting cast around him. But Chuck Donnell flies the plane. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He is the guy who makes the whole offense go, and he's just done a great job for us this year. And I'm sorry for all the superlatives, but that's really the way I have to describe it.
Well, no, that's why I got you online. I want those. So bring them on. But you also got a guy who's getting some love as of late. I just read an article on him, you know, Frederick Bruno, a guy that has 11 touchdowns up on the season for your football team. That's got to be, you know, it's nice to be able to lean on a guy. And that guy can be leaned on. And I'm only talking about 11 touchdowns on the receiving end. Let everybody else know what he does out on the football field.
I think Frederick Bruno's pretty much running out of ways to score. He has scored on a kickoff return this year on several touchdown passes from Dowdell. And probably my favorite touchdown from Frederick Bruno this year was down in Omaha. This would have been 3 weeks ago. And they lined up for a field goal, which was short. Bruno took it basically with his back against the boards underneath the goalpost. And he started running. He just kind of stood still. He looked like he was waiting for his hole, getting a couple of good blocks on the right side of the field. And then all of a sudden, he just decides, you know what, I'm going left on this. He went, turned left, turned up the corner on the far side of the field from my perspective, and ended up with the touchdown and nobody near him. And it was just a beautiful and, yeah, to some extent, hilarious play to watch because it looked like Omaha could have gotten him at any time. But, you know, he had this little trick up his sleeve to go up the other side of the field, and Freddie got it done. And it was just a fabulous thing to watch and to broadcast.
As we say here, there are certain things that I look at the CIF that they've done good. I see a lot of things that they have done bad. But I want to be on the football field when I talk about this, when I see some of the rules that are coming on. You're kind of used to them with this CPIFL last year. Some of the rules and regulations from the Lone Star Football League are part of it. So they made a combo. The one I hate the most is that if the ball hits the dasher and it's loose, the ball is considered out of bounds. Hate that rule in reality. So as a guy who broadcasts the game and you get a chance to see week in, week out, as far as the rules are concerned, are you happy with the rules or do you think there needs to be some tweaking to the rules in order to make this league even more exciting than what it already is?
I'm going to go off the board a little bit and start with a couple of rules I love. First of all, the no punt rule. Because basically you either need to go for the first down or try the field goal. I think that opens up the league a lot. And it's tough to punt on a 50-yard field as well. As far as rule changes, I think one thing I would do, and this might be the case in some other leagues, well, I know it is a live ball into the net, like on a kick.
Right.
And also, other than that,
you think you're okay?
Yeah, a couple of things I would change is that maybe expand the roster. And I know our owner is really big on this. Carrying 21 men when you've got, you know, an offensive 8 and a defensive 8 kicker is probably not going to, you know, play another position. At least ours, Max Martin, doesn't. And I think some CIF teams have found this out, Wichita in particular, and Omaha to an extent. If you're number one quarterback goes down, there's no number two. You basically have to declare an emergency quarterback, And ours would be Jeremiah Oates. We haven't seen him in a month because of that high ankle sprain. So, I mean, God help us all if anything were to happen to Chuck. I don't think it would be a bad idea to have maybe a guy on a sort of practice squad or something, have him suit up. If he doesn't get into the game, you know, throw him a small financial bone so he hangs around, but just kind of have him ready in the bullpen and maybe two or three more guys who can comprise your travel squad. That's probably the only major tweaking I do. The on-field rules, I'm pretty much fine with.
Looking at your team, you got probably the most famous NFL player out on the football field week in, week out for the Buffalo Bills and Fred Jackson. I look at this guy and I see, and every time I see him, I think indoor. And that's just habit because of my love of the indoor game. Is the love still over there for him as far as Sioux Falls is concerned? Because really, you think of it, he's one that's really well known within the NFL from a guy that walks in the indoor league and makes it into the NFL.
And you know, every once in a while, you're going to get a guy who does that. Everyone knows the Kurt Warner story.
Yep.
You know, played in indoor football, was stocking shelves at the Hy-Vee in Council Bluffs, or I'm sorry, in Cedar Falls, Iowa, when he was discovered. Yet there's just a small sliver of hope with all these guys. And yeah, there's a little bit of reverence yet when they talk about Freddie. He has been in our programs, a picture of him in his Bills uniform. And he has talked freely and frequently about how good his experience in Sioux City was, that it kind of made him the player and the man he is. And yeah, it's just terrific to see something like that. And you look at a situation like him, or look somebody who might be playing independent baseball and get a shot in organized ball and eventually get to the majors. Only thing you can think of, really, Sonny, is God bless America.
Yep, and it's indoor football. It's the most exciting brand of football, I think. That's the reason why I prefer it. That's, you know, after the NFL, everybody goes, oh, football season's over. And my saying is, well, you're just not paying attention, because this is a great way to watch football. It's more exciting. If you like scoring, this is what you get within these indoor leagues, and it's good stuff. So when you look at your football team, how confident are you? Your team making it into the playoffs? We heard your schedule to make it into the playoffs. As a guy that watches it and tries to be objective as much as possible, what do you think their chances are to getting in there? I think they're pretty good. I got them in there. I think, and most people don't. And it's not because of our relationship. I just think you guys are just that good. But your road games, that's just like the Revolution, that's where you got to step it up as well.
It's going to be sink or swim the final 4 weeks. I mean, no game's a gimme. Heck, we play a 1-8 team. They're one wins against Sioux City.
Yep.
You know, and so you never know what team is going to show up on a given night. Dodge City has kind of had their problems the last few weeks. We get them at the last week. That's about a 500 or 600 mile trip from Sioux City, which is tough to get used to. And nobody has a really good track record on the road, the CIF. I mean, the Bandits have won one game on the road. That was down in Omaha a couple of weeks ago in a game that they won and certainly needed. Omaha, and I hate to say this, I mean, you can't let the smooth taste of a 1-8 record fool you, and we should know from experience at that, but Omaha is a game we really need to win. Amarillo, just got to take care of business at home and get somebody on the road. I think if we can get one of the two on the road, should have beaten Wichita the first time down at Intrust Bank Arena, had a first and goal with a 1:30 left on the Wichita 5 and couldn't get it in. I mean, you don't deserve to win a game if that's going to happen to you. But need a good effort in Wichita, need a good effort in Dodge City. Run the table. Heck, you're in. I mean, you're controlling your own destiny, and that's really all you can ask for, like I talked about with the chip at a chair earlier in our visit here. If you just get a chance to do what you need to do and get it done, and yeah, you've got a great shot. And Sioux City has put itself in a terrific position to do that. It's just a matter of whether or not they can keep up the momentum and, for heaven's sakes, keep everybody healthy.
And I think that's the most important, keeping everybody healthy, especially your quarterback. In this league, we talk about the do or die in the NFL. You're only as good as your quarterback. It's the same thing here. So keeping your fingers crossed, making sure Charles Dodal is all set and ready to go and can complete the season. He is Gary Ellen Bolt. He is the radio voice of the Sioux City Bandits. Thanks for joining us here on our pregame show as well as our halftime show, Gary.
And delighted to do it, Sonny. And unless you're playing the Bandits, go Rebs.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you very much. And, folks, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit with Bill Cerna. He is the color commentator of your Texas Revolution. We'll be back after these messages.
Hi, my name is Holt McCallany. I'm an actor in films and television. I had to design a website, and I hired several different companies. I was never happy with any of the work that they did until I found Internet Marketing Images. They're very competitively priced, and they can handle all of your social media for you. So whether you're in sales, or it's a corporate account, or you're a celebrity that just doesn't have time to always manage all the social media, try Internet Marketing Images.
This is Sonny Clark telling you to stop on by Internet Marketing Images on the web at www.4imi.com or give them a call toll free 877-469-9322.
Hi, I'm Melody, and I'm here with appliance tips so simple, even a 9-year-old can do them. Make sure you rinse the food off your plates before putting them in the dishwasher. Food will gunk up the dishwasher and clog the sprayers. If you need help, call my daddy, Tyler Atkins, at A-Plus Certified Appliance, 972-890-5014.
I'm your GPS. Turn right up ahead. You never update me, so now I just have to wing it.
I meant turn left up ahead.
Recalculating, turn right now! And your 15-minute insurance might not pay for all this, so get Allstate. You can save money and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Recalculating!
Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate.
This is Sonny Clark telling you to get a hold of Allstate at 202 North Allen Drive, Suite B in Allen, Texas, or give them a call at 469-656-3233. That's 469-656-3233.
How would you like the opportunity to get your business in front of 1 billion people each month? I'm Fred with Fred Schatz Photo and Video, and I help business owners like you get your message out through YouTube. Statistics show that 1 billion unique visitors search YouTube each month, but if you don't have a video for your business or your service, then you won't be found. When you're ready to harness the power of YouTube, give us a call at Fred Schatz Photography and Video, and we'll help get you and your business in front of those billion people.
This is Sonny Clark, the radio voice of your Texas Revolution, telling you to stop on by Fred Schatz Photography, located on the web at www.fredschatz.com, or give them a call at 469-718-9749. That's 469-718-9749.
And welcome back into the Couch Potato Sports Show here in the pregame show, as well as leaking over into the halftime show. I got online the guy that's seen every single game, even on the road. He's been there. He's been live. It is our color commentator. It is Bill Cerna. Bill, how you doing?
Good. I'm glad you mentioned that. I've actually been to more games than the head coach.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
That means
good
both
point.
Of them.
And me too. As he loves to travel and catch the team out there. We're going into a crazy part of the season. The CIF, I'll tell you. But we did a bye week show, and just those two games has changed the landscape of the CIF almost literally overnight. I mean, because you saw the Law, who had the lead in this whole league, they've dropped down to like fifth place now, and then you got Wichita now taking over first place. the Sioux City Bandits. In second place, Amarillo, a team that we're going to be playing next week, is in third place. And then the Bombers, who they got the head-to-head with the Texas Revolution in fourth, followed by the Dodge City Law, then the Gladiators, then us as the Texas Revolution. But really, when you look at it, Bill, we're really only like a half a game out of first place, and we're sitting in seventh. So a crazy situation that's going on here in the final weeks of the CIF season.
Yeah, exactly. And I tell you what, I didn't expect, after last week's game, I didn't expect to drop down a position, which we did. I was expecting, okay, after this weekend, let's see what granted there's only two games, let's see which one, how it plays out, and let's see where we move up, and then to wake up Sunday morning and see that we actually moved back a spot. So, but like you said, we're a half game out of first place, but so are six other teams.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a logjam, all for four spots for the playoffs.
The wild, wild Midwest, in reality, mm-hmm. you can call this league. This is just, but then again, it really, you take a look at it, it shows a lot of parity in this league. But when you make that statement and you see the games that, and the way the Revolution had lost their, they've lost four games. I still give them the first game. That's a loss. But the last three games, in reality, the Texas Revolution, I think, and it's not because we're homers, Bill. I mean, we see this team and we see the potential. They're better than most of these teams in this league, and yet they're on the outside looking in for the playoffs.
Yeah, and we're kind of like the New York Yankees of this league. People want to see us beat. We have probably the best talent of anybody in this league, and people don't want us in the playoffs. They want to beat us. They circle that game on their schedule when they come to town or we go to them. So it's a very important game for them. So we've got a tough challenge ahead of us because I guarantee you the six teams ahead of us don't care who make the playoffs. I think they'd not want to see the Revolution in the playoffs. So it does make it a tough challenge. But with this weekend coming up, there's four games. Two of them are against four teams that are ahead of us. So obviously there's going to be two teams out of that that come up with a loss. And once again, change up that top seven shift.
Yeah, and you take a look at it. You look right now, as us, you and me, we're looking Amarillo. But mm-hmm. really, the Revolution have got to look for this Bandits. I mean, just say what you want. They're looking to play spoiler, and head coach Wendell Davis is looking forward to quite possibly, because if the Texas Revolution take the loss here, it might almost be impossible. I haven't figured them out to make the playoffs if they lose here tonight as the Texas Revolution take on the San Angelo Bandits.
Yeah, and we talked about this last weekend with you, Jeremy, and myself. We had talked about the importance of how these games are going to be. And you know what? The Bandits, last time they were here, they lost by, 60 points? plus it's Wendell Davis. They have a reason to want to play hard and to win this ball game. So, you know what? The Revolution cannot play down to their competition. They have to come out, take control, get to this game injury-free, and really really go strong and into the last 2 weeks after this. So, they really need to win all three games. One more loss is going to be really tough to recover from. So, like you said before, we really need this game. Don't look past it to Amarillo, but use this as a stepping stone for Amarillo.
Absolutely. I was thinking the same thing. This is an opportunity for you to maybe work some different plays if they get a lead or whatever, but that's what has to happen. They've got to get the lead. They've got to be able to get ahead of this football team so they can try other things going into it. But I think what's going to happen, Bill, and I'm going to get your opinion on it, the fact that we got Terry Glenn back, I mean, I think is huge. I think the last time the Revolution were on the field, they were missing a guy that they started to rally around on the offensive side of the ball, that being Terry Glenn, the new offensive coordinator.
huge, and not to take anything against Wyman, but you know he's a defensive coordinator, he's a defensive guy, and when you know he was on the field running the plays there in Amarillo, you could see the difference in plays that we saw from when Terry Glenn was on the field. It was a lot more conservative, a lot more of the small screens. There wasn't really that anything that was opened up downfield. So it's going to be good to see him. Terry Glenn back on the field tonight. Hopefully that we can get him in Amarillo next week because he's a motivator. He's Terry Glenn. He's a successful NFL player and he knows how to run an offense. So you know to get him to help get this offense of running and get it out of that slump that happened last game will hopefully make a huge difference.
Big time difference. And also looking at it as the Revolution are moving forward. You know, they're almost unbeatable at home. I mean, they wipe the floor with anybody that's come into the Allen Event Center. So that being said, they got to still go in with that mentality in order to take that step up as far as the Venom. Now, the Venom are at home. They're taking on the Gladiators. I've called the upset, and I didn't call it because I just want to see it. Because it works better for the Texas Revolution. If the Venom go into this Duke City Gladiators game with the fact that they think they're going to win because they're going to be at home, they might have another thing coming. I will tell you, as watching this team all year long, and folks, I even watched when they played the Texas Stealth. It's on America One. Get over there and watch it before you lose it after 30 days. But I'm going to tell you, this is a football team. The Gladiators are a football team that can come out and they can and make a difference. And I think really we talked about it last week with Jeremy York. I think they're the dark horses in this final seven going in because I think if they get lucky enough to get two of these, I think they almost write themselves right into the playoffs.
And you're absolutely right. They really have a good opportunity. And with the Revolution, playoffs start right now. You know, we got three games left in the season. It's all win or you're out for the Revolution, in my opinion. So yeah, you got to take every game. And you know, we play the Bandits tonight, and then coming back next week at Amarillo, and then we have the Gladiators. So those two last games are going to be very important. So we really got to come up with wins on those games because, like I said, if they beat us, they're going to make the playoffs in front of us. So we definitely got to make sure we stay on a winning roll throughout for the next five games.
And the Gladiators have a game after the game with us. When our season is done, there's still one more week left in the CIF. So it's going to come down to the final week of games in the CIF probably to figure out the top four. So, and this has really been good because when you take a look at the Revolution and where they have been as far as the IFL, and then not even to that to a certain extent, the Allen Wranglers that we've been watching, you know, the whole time, we're seeing success out on the football field like we've seen with the Wranglers, but first and foremost is playoffs. Now, I don't know, and I don't know if you've heard anything about the injury. Brett Reese, he was on Jeremy York show, the Revolution Zone. He says he's ready, but that's going to be a game-time decision as far as Reese is concerned. Do you know anything about what's going on with Brett Reese, what the injury is, and how maybe it's healing and what's going on?
Oh, he's ready. He's ready. I think if we had played last week and we didn't have the bye week, I think he would have been ready. That would have been more of a game-time situation. I think this extra week definitely got him ready to go for tonight. And with that being said, we had a lot of bumps and bruises after that last game in Amarillo. So I think this bye week really came at a opportune time to get these bumps and bruises healed, get some emotions healed, because that last game was definitely an emotional game. And it took a lot of out of our team. That was the first time all season that, in my opinion, especially in the second half, in my opinion, we got bullied. And so I think it was definitely a pride thing. So I think this bye week came at a most opportune time. So hopefully we'll see it out of everybody, not just Brett Reese. But Brett Reese is definitely going to be out there tonight.
Yeah, I think he's key. I mean, you look at the defense. We're still got the best defense in this league. I say what you want, only 317 points scored. The best in the CIF take away from the Gladiators because they're not counting the points and everything else. But take away from that, they're the best defense. So when I look at this game, I'm not worried about defense. I'm worried about offense. We got to get into the end zone. And, you know, Kent, he's been good all year long. He's been a little shaky lately. I'm wondering, and I'll even ask you, do you think that there's a little, you know, uneasiness about Kent at the quarterback position, or do you think that the coaches trust what he's doing out on the football field?
You know what? After that last game, it could have been very easy to say, you know what, I think there's a big question mark over the head. But you know what? I think we don't want to bank it all on one game. I think if you look at the overall stats for the year, I think he's been one of the most consistent quarterbacks in the league. And I think tonight is going to be a great opportunity to see how he rebounds from that last game 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's hard to make a change this late in the year, especially at quarterback, because, you know, at the quarterback, he's your leader. He's the one out there that people are rallying around. To have a new quarterback this late in the year would be tough. So I think they've gotten to a point now where I think they're settled with him, take him with the good and the bad. And but if you look for the full year, there's been a lot more good than there has been bad.
I agree, and that's what you got to do is not go into a panic situation.
Absolutely,
as for going into there just because of one bad game, you're absolutely right. But when I'm looking at this game, I'm looking at one thing that I want to see. Brett Reese, I mean, that's a given. Having the guy back out on the football field, as far as, I mean, a couple weeks ago he was on the football field, but he was a non-issue. He was a non-factor in the game. But when you got him now, he's going to be a factor. I'm not worried about Brett. Right? I want to see more from the running game. We saw a team that really has kind of, you know, we mentioned it last week. We saw a team that had really been good with the running game, just really kind of get away from it. I think they got to establish it, whether it's going to be Darius Fudge, whether it's going to be Jordan Brown, whether it's going to be anybody else, whatever the case may be. I think they got to run the football, and going into especially getting that established before they take a step against the Venom when they go on the road.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. We started off the season being a beast as a running team, and we've kind of slacked off here in the second half of the season. But with that being said, now you have two strong running backs. I mean, Jordan Brown, for the most part, has been very dependable following up on Fudge all season since we've had him. So he's come up big when we've needed him, and he's probably put a little scare into Fudge on how well he's doing. But I'm telling you what, there's a new name this week that's coming out that might be suiting up in the backfield too, and that's Taylor McCullough.
Yeah.
He is from the New England Patriots, and he's actually a linebacker / fullback. So he's a big boy, and he's a 240 pounds, 6'2". He's a big boy, and he, you know, this league hasn't seen him yet. So you're absolutely right. I think if we can establish a running game, which is ironic saying that in an arena league,
yes.
But if you can establish a running game, that can be a huge difference, especially coming down to the last three games that are very important.
Yeah, they went away from it, Bill. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if that was because of uncertainty, being on the road, having to play from behind and trying to get back into games. Of course, they kind of had to abandon it. But I'll tell you, one thing that I look at, and I look at special teams, and then I think about the running game, Darius Fudge making huge plays on special teams. I'm telling you, shoestring tackles all over the place. And every time, he's getting up slower and slower. So that's a good thing that we got Jordan Brown to be able to back him up, because I don't know if there's an injury problem with Darius, even though when he's on the football field, you don't necessarily know it. When he's walking off, he looks like he's beat up a little bit. So, and, you know, having that, I guess you want to call it insurance policy in Jordan Brown, that's definitely a nice thing to have.
Well, and I would tell you, especially being on the bench on the road, him and Frankie, they take a beating out there. They leave it all out there, and you're absolutely right. Fudge is just—he's been a terror on the special teams. But as you and I and Jeremy mentioned on our roundtable, the special teams are something that has been needing some improvement on. So you know what, I think it needs to be a full cast of people, not just Fudge out there making all the tackles. So, but you're absolutely right. I think in this league, we have never been far enough behind where we've ever had to abandon the run.
Right.
I think we should continue the run. And, you know, a good passing game helps open up the running game. So if we can establish a good passing game, that's definitely going to open up the running game.
Yeah, and I like exactly what you said there. If we got, you got to open up the running game. Obviously, they're going to throw the football. I mean, we're in the arena, okay? So they're going to be throwing the football. But you got to be able to, if you're going to go out and do it, you have to establish it. You can't just go out and sit, you know, and just run the football. You've got to be able to put some, you know, oomph into the run game, or really in reality, it's really a wasted play. So they got to be able to get yards when they're running the football. I think that's probably one of the biggest things when I look at the situation and I look at the Texas Revolution. I want to see more of, you know, not necessarily establishing the run, but making it a thing that where people are going to look at and say, well, you don't know if they're going to run the football or pass the football.
Mm-hmm.
They're just that good. And that's what I want to see. And they started off the year that way, where you didn't know what was coming at them. And if you weren't ready for the run, that's where they ended up burning you. So as more games that are going on in the CIF, we're going to be watching these games here tonight because they are important. The Bombers and the Force. That you want to talk? I was looking at the games, and I think I sent you a message. I think the Law losing really hurt the Texas Revolution in reality, because the Law have the actual tiebreaker over the Texas Revolution, and now look where they're sitting. Whereas if they won, and they'd be looking at Wichita and that tie, they got the head-to-head on them. So that's going to be an important game going on tonight. And to a point, the Sioux City Bandits have got to get the victory. They're home. They're a good home team, sort of like the Texas Revolution, a good home team. But watch out for. I'm just wondering about the Sioux City Bandits as we move into the last couple of weeks. I think if they get one more win on the road, this is a team that will probably make it into the playoffs. So, you know, the wild, wild Midwest is what the CIF is. This is some good stuff. And I'm going to ask you, I'll put it out there, and I'll be the first to admit, I didn't expect this. When this league came out, Bill, I'll be honest, I wasn't confident in the league. I looked at the league, and I'm going, man, really, are we going to do this? And so I got to eat my words a little bit. I don't know if you feel like I do when you took a look at these two leagues joining. I wasn't a big fan of it, and then when the Revolution went to it, I was like, well, heck, you know, here we go. This will be something new, something interesting for the Texas Revolution in 2015.
Yeah, and on the business side, it was a lot of it was a business decision to move the league. But I tell you what, the talent is just as good as it was in the IFL, in my opinion. Just from being out there, there's some great talent out here. And one thing that I didn't expect was parity, as much parity as there is. You know what? Seven of the nine teams are going to go down to the last week or two with a playoff opportunity. And it's not like the NHL where 30 teams, 20 of them make the playoffs. It's hard not to make the playoffs. But here, you're only getting four that get to make the playoffs. So, you know, it's a lot of parity. And, you know, if you look at the schedule today and you reckon, you memorize it and you remember where everybody's standing and everybody's schedule is, tomorrow it's going to be totally different. So, you know, based on whatever happens today, because I tell you what, you have Omaha, you know, they could very easily make an upset too. You know, if they're Omaha is playing Sioux City, you never know on what, any given night. So, definitely a lot of parity. And I tell you what, I think the league has been more and more successful as the weeks have gone by. So for first year, I think it's a great start. You know, obviously there's things that need to be worked on from a league standpoint. But I think for the most part, it's been exciting. It's been fun, and then to have so much parity in the first year was great.
I think that's huge too, because when you look at the IFL, it's the same old going on there. Sioux Falls and Cedar Rapids, the Nebraska Danger. and it'll flip-flop from Tri-Cities to the Colorado Ice. This year, it's Tri-Cities.
Right.
So it's the same old in reality that's going on over there. So it's also nice to be able to see different teams. It's nice to be able to see something different instead of what we're looking at as far as the IFL are concerned. So I think a halfway decent first start. They got a lot of improvements. There's supposed to be a couple new teams going in. So hopefully that will continue as it goes on and the league can actually grow and expand. It'll be really interesting to see how it goes here in 2016 for year number two.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yep, it should be. So we're going to do now. I'd like to thank Bill for his time. We're here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. You've been listening to the pregame show here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Texas Revolution Radio Network.